love Unofficial Mills.
This is a download from unofficialmills.co.uk.
C Radio 1.
It's fair to say a lot of people were quite worried last week when we said it might be the end of 24 years at the Tap End. I think people assumed that as well because there was an emotional song at the end and it's quite a poignant message. But don't worry, it's still on. He may now be 25, but he still spent 24 years at the Tap End before realising that you could have a bath.
So we're doing this as a technicality, we're still calling it 24 years, are we?
Yeah, because you've realised and now you have a bath the right way round.
Right, okay. And we'll go on a little bit more.
Yeah, I think so. Have you got more to give?
I've got a little bit more to give.
Okay. Well, there's no Becky here today either to tell you how ridiculous what you're saying is. So, plod on. Where are we going?
I'm going to go to the 19th year. It was a busy year, that.
Was it?
Yeah.
In what way?
Well, we've just done quite a lot from the 19th year. Speaking of which, I've printed out every Tap End that we've done so far. And it goes to 50 pages.
Is that enough for a book?
Of A4. I think so.
Oh, of A4? Because books aren't that big, are they?
I think it's about 40,000 words.
Unless it's an annual. They're always that big. If it was an annual, though, we could do loads of kind of photos, yep. Quizzes, crosswords, that.
Brilliant idea.
Yeah? Make it a bit more fun. Not that it's not fun, but I mean, make it such fun.
Can we do scratch and sniff?
What would it smell of?
I don't know, some of my scents throughout the ages.
Like voodoo.
Africa.
Right, okay, 19th year, here we go
right,
again.
Ready.
Redo.
It's safe to say budget-wise, I was struggling at university. On an average week, I had about £35 disposable income, which I had to split between food and beers. This would be a challenge for any professional chef. And like Jamie Oliver and other chefs discovered when they try and get the nation eating on a budget, the main compromise in my food had to be the quality. To ensure the basic framework of a social life, I had about a tenner a week to spend on food. There was a certain frozen food supermarket, which was of course a godsend, and allowed me to stick to budget. I would buy a packet of fish fingers for 13p, some meat nuggets for 38p, and some frozen mutton minced meat pellets, a large pack, for about a pound.
What are they called?
Frozen mutton minced meat pellets.
They sound delicious.
And you can cook them straight from frozen.
Even better. I like it that they're called pellets. It still sounds so attractive.
They were only about a pound, though, for a large bag, so all good, right? Potato waffles could be quite cheap.
Mutton pellets.
Potato waffles could be quite cheap, and pasta, of course, was there to provide the substance. Pasta was the only thing I could cook after some early culinary disasters at the beginning of the first year, and this wasn't bad compared to some people. My cousin Ed used to make up a huge saucepan of porridge at the beginning of the week, which is all he would then eat, to free up enough money for some beers. I don't advise it.
He survived completely on porridge that he cooked on a Monday.
He would cook, I think it was a Sunday night actually, because that was his night off. Going out, and he would, cook up the porridge, one massive porridge, and then that was there for the week.
And he would eat that breakfast, lunch, dinner?
Massive thing of it, put it in the fridge and then just ladle it out and microwave it every day.
That is so minging.
But it saved him money.
I mean, porridge is good for you, but
I don't think it is in that quantity, though.
No, probably not.
Or maybe it is, I don't know. I'm not a nutrition expert, but
this is a bit like Eggie Lee, Becky's friend in Australia.
What did he do?
When she lived there for a while, he just...
It's a she.
Huh?
Eggie Lee?
No, it's a he.
Oh, right.
You're thinking of Peggy Lee.
Right, okay. Who's Peggy Lee?
She's some singer or something? Off like the 1900s? Well, anyway, Eggie Lee was one of Becky's flatmates when she lived in Australia and lived on nothing but eggs.
Oh,
also, probably not that great for you and very antisocial.
No, that's gross. About once a month, I would go home to deliver washing. And in return, my mum would cook me up a load of lasagnas and stuff to put in the freezer. She would also take me to the shops on a bit of a supermarket sweep. She took pity on me. The problem I had was that, you know, you've got to share a kitchen with everyone in your first year.
Yeah.
You'd go back there with massive lasagnas and spag bowls and things like that.
Were they jealous?
But you had nowhere to store them because you only had a small space in the freezer, which was your compartment.
Yeah.
And if that's filled with minced pellets and nuggets, there's not much room for the big stuff.
Right.
So what I would have to do is cook everything all at once on like the first day back. So I'd treat myself to a feast day, which was lasagnas, spag bowls, everything my mum had given me.
Everything. It's and the Brian Butterfield diet.
It was to excess, but I'd treat all my other flatmates.
If you don't know Brian Butterfield, then you are, frankly, missing out, because he's brilliant. And he has a special diet where you can eat everything. And the good news is, he's coming in to see us tomorrow.
Is he?
He's on Twitter and everything, yeah. Check him out. The diet is incredible, listen.
OK, here's your weekday plan. Breakfast, one cornflake, toasted with low-fat spread. Drink, hot water. Lunch, small raw potato, peeled. Salad, mini lettuce leaf. Drink, room temperature water. Dinner, square of low-fat turkey breast. Baked bean in low-fat tomato sauce. Broccoli shavings. Drink, chilled water. Pudding, ice cubes and artificial sweetener.
But for one day a week, and this is the great thing about this... You have treat day, which is what you had by the sounds of it, when you cooked up all your mum's stuff.
Right, yeah.
This is how it works.
For 24 hours, you can literally eat anything.
Pizza, birthday pie, pints of cream, pork cylinders, potato grids, artificial bacon, large Macs, sandwich casserole, chocolate quail's eggs, garlic pudding, fluffy ruffs, hoisin crispy owl, pasta pillows, bonbons, yes. McFortune cookies, discount foie gras, egg and ham slabs, during dinner mints.
You can literally have anything you want. You
Mum's
can,
lasagna.
I'm surprised mutton pellets aren't in there.
Mutton pellets.
Frozen mutton minced meat pellets.
Mystery pellets.
Mystery pellets.
Brian Butterfield's coming to see us tomorrow. I literally can't wait. Back to the
amazing.
Tap end.
By Easter of the first year, it became apparent that this life was unsustainable and that I would have to try get a job. I applied for a job in my hall's bar, a small bar called Glen Bar, and it wasn't long till I was a fully fledged barman. The first shift was a bit of a blag. I could only do the beers. I never really drank spirits, so wasn't too sure on certain drinks what to do. I remember white wine spritzers causing an issue. As well as having a good laugh working with mates, I was now earning some money. My food budget was extended, and I was now on real beef mince. It's because I can afford it.
I know, I mean...
Healthy eating isn't cheap. I know this sounds ridiculous. The other major perk to working in Glen Bar was the brilliant bar socials. We had a great team of people working there, and we were all very proud of our halls. Popular games played included 21, Bunnies in the Middle, Deutsche Erotica... and El Numero.
What's Bunnies in the Middle, can't you say?
Bunnies in the Middle, no, that's a harmless game. So let's say we're playing here. Shane Becky's not here. We could have done some of these.
Had a little go.
Bunnies in the Middle is that you do this kind of action with your hands and your head. Like, Bunnies in the Middle.
Like a bunny ears.
Bunnies in the Middle. It's all about hand movements, and you've got to move your...
Right.
It's complex.
It does sound complex.
Deutsche Erotica is easy to explain.
What's Deutsche Erotica, please?
There's several different versions of this. This was the one that I found most common at uni. Mm. And it's where you'd make this action with your arm and like, go, ooh. And
then. Like a fist.
Yeah, like a fist across the body. Then one goes down going, ah.
Ooh, ah. So down, like a boy band grab.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like, ooh, ah, das ist gut.
What is the actual point of this?
Sorry. So Deutsche Erotica is basically a game where you kind of make these arm movements and then it passes around. So then I would go, ooh, and then you would go, like, and then you've got to carry it on and round the circle. Does this make sense?
No.
So if I go, ooh, and move the arm across.
I go, ah.
And that sends it back to me.
Right. And now what?
I'll teach. We'll do this in the pub later.
Sure.
It's probably easier there, isn't it?
Yeah, I would say, yeah, probably. It sounds fun. If you are actually interested in how... was it Deutsche Erotica?
Yeah.
Works. Then come and see us in the pub later and Chris will be happy to give you a free demonstration.
It's easier to explain there.
Yeah.
Most socials would involve some kind of crawl, ending up in Jesters or the Student Union, but each were special in their very own way. There have been many I'd like to talk about, but one in particular summed up the fun when I was formally invited on a fox hunt through Portswood.
Hey?
I'll explain all this. The rules for this night were simple. The blokes would dress up as hunters, the girls as foxes. So, as a hunter, you'd dress up in sort of the tweed and, right. You know, with the horn. The girls dressed in foxes with tail and hats like that. On the starter's pistol, the girls would run from the start venue to the first...
This actually happened?
Yeah, it was good. On the starter's pistol, the girls would run from the start venue to the first pub with 10 minutes to stay ahead before the hunters followed. The finishing point was Jester's, and there were about 6 pubs in between. It was my first hunt, and I was very excited. Dressed in tweed, I mounted my friend, and 10 minutes later, we were off.
What?
Mounted. I've written that wrong.
Oh, you mean...
What I mean is piggyback. Climbed on the back of him as a piggyback. Yeah.
Okay.
I will change that.
Change that for the actual book.
About 10 of us on piggyback, tearing through Portsmouth High Street.
In tweed.
In tweed. As we entered each pub, horns would be blown. Again, I might reword that. And straggling foxes would try and escape before they were caught. If caught, they had to pour their drink over themselves. It was a right laugh.
For who?
Do you understand what's going on?
Is this like a kind of advanced kiss chase?
Exactly that.
In fancy dress.
Exactly that. It was such a laugh. You'd love it.
I'd have to be there.
Yeah, we'll do it. We'll do it one day.
Do you think we could do a Radio 1 version?
I think so, yeah. So what would we do? I mean, we could do...
Well, we dress up as tweed and then Fern Cotton tries to escape.
But you could do it in cafes and stuff like that as well. I mean, it's more the fun of the hunt. So, I mean, we could send Fern out and she's got to do every cafe down this road or something.
And then watch as she pours Patron all over herself.
I like it.
Do you?
Yeah. Well, I don't know how you do the all-staff emails here yet, but I'll...
Subject, fox hunt. It's better than what we're doing on Thursday on our team-building meetings that we're having.
It's always karaoke.
Always. Let's do a fox hunt instead. Tell Matt Fincham immediately.
I'll email him.
He's organising it.
For those of us that hadn't caught a fox by the end, we had to do the same. And in Jester's, unfortunately, a pint of lager was poured over my head. Disaster had struck when, fox in sight, I pushed my mate, who was the horse, a bit too hard. He had stumbled and injured himself, leaving us well behind the others. He could only manage a hobble with me on his back for the final couple of pubs. But we accepted our punishment and took it like men.
What, and just pour a drink over yourself?
Yeah, well, rules are rules.
Yeah.
I do miss uni socials, though, and you don't really do those kind of nights much once you finish uni. It was fun times. Those nights allowed you to be anything you wanted to be, from Smurf to Superman, from Woody to Willy Wonka. It was good times.